This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to continue our discussion of spiritual deception in the last days and how every one of us is vulnerable to spiritual deception, psychological deception, political deception, spiritual deception. And why is that? Well, the reason that is because we're in a time period where we're in the greatest battle in the history of mankind between truth and deception, or between good and evil. Now, truth is everything that God is and everything that God has created. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." God's word is truth. For example, the Genesis account of creation is a true account of creation. What God's word has to say about any particular subject, whether it's economics or society or family or theology, God's word is true. And the truth sets people free. Now, there's a whole different area, and that would be called half-truths, lies, and then there's deliberate deception, where people, organizations, groups are deliberately deceiving you, deliberately concealing the truth from you with the hidden agenda of enslaving you. And that's a very, very important process to understand, and one where we can't be naive about it. When Lucifer approached Adam and Eve, he did so by inhabiting a reptilian being, the serpent of old. And then he used the wiles of the devil on them, which is a kind of conversational hypnosis. It was a kind of a spiritual deception dialogue where he enticed them to reject God's word. And when they were seduced by the lies of Lucifer, they lost everything. They activated the law of sin and death. They lost paradise. And the human race lost everything. So they had everything, and yet they lost everything because they rejected God's word. Now, what is God's word? Once again, God's word is the truth. So whenever we in our own lives or collectively in a society reject truth for a lie or a series of lies, the end result is that we will always end up in various forms of captivity or slavery. And that's the story, by the way, of the Jews in the Old Testament. God gave the Jews the law to live out the light of the law throughout the world. And depending upon whether or not the Jews were obedient to the law of God, they were prospered and blessed. And when they worshiped pagan idols, and when they did the things that the pagan nations all around them did, then they would come under the chastisement and judgment of God, and they would go into captivity, and they would become prisoners. They would become slaves in a foreign land. And then after a period of time, God had compassion upon them, and he would send prophets. And when the people repented and when they cried out to God, God would most often send a deliverer like Moses to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt and the Pharaoh God-King system. And Egypt is a type or model of the world system, and you and I live in the world system. So this cyclical pattern has repeated itself from the very beginning, and it continues on into the church age. Going back to America, America has been a very prosperous, free nation up until recently. But in the last 100 years, God's people have rejected his word in the same way that Adam and Eve rejected God's word. And as a result, God's people have gone increasingly into captivity, into slavery, and they, in many cases, don't even realize it. So that's kind of like a very short synopsis of where the spiritual battle has gone and where it's taking us. Now, where we are in this particular time zone is this. We're in the time zone immediately before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. We don't have an exact day or hour, but we're in that time zone. Number two is the Bible specifically says that in the last days, and the Bible is talking about the time period immediately before the return of Jesus Christ, there is constant teaching from the scriptures, constant teaching from Jesus Christ himself about the signs of the times and other biblical predictions, prophetic predictions. And when Christ talks about the signs of the times, he talks about everything from weather conditions to lawlessness. But if you read Christ's warning and the signs of the times carefully, you notice that spiritual deception is perhaps the key component, that God's people will encounter spiritual deception in the last days. This will be the major battle. And in our time period, it is the major battle. Whether people realize it or not, the greatest battle we're in is the battle for truth. And the battlefield that this battle is taking place on is the battle for our minds, our hearts, our souls, and our belief systems. So Christ warns us in the last days that this would be the case. And I want to read you from the book of Matthew, where Jesus Christ talks about what is commonly referred to as the signs of the times. So in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ is speaking to us. And he starts in Matthew 24, starting in verse 1, but I'm going to pick it up to verse 15, where it talks about the abomination of desolation. Now, let's remember that the abomination of desolation is the Antichrist. And Jesus is referring to the prophet Daniel. So people always ask the question, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would teach Bible prophecy, first and foremost, because when you read what Jesus did, such as this verse here, but there are countless other verses, Jesus is about the business of teaching God's people Bible prophecy. So if you ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? Jesus would teach Bible prophecy. Jesus would not censor Bible prophecy. So that's a no-brainer. What would Jesus do? He would teach Bible prophecy. So these are the words of Jesus Christ as he teaches Bible prophecy. Verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So we see Christ talking about the abomination of desolation, which he's referring to the prophet Daniel, who makes a supernatural prediction that in the last days the Antichrist will go into the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem and demand that the people of planet Earth worship him as God. That's called the abomination of desolation. Then a great deal of this passage appears to be referring to the Jewish people. And it seems to be referring to conditions in Israel, because it talks about fleeing and that you wouldn't flee in the winter or the Sabbath. And it says, then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Again, a reference to being in the nation of Israel. And then we read Christ saying these words. Verse 23, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. So Christ is warning us about tremendously powerful spiritual deception. People who are appearing and coming and claiming to be the Christ, but Jesus warns us not to believe it. And then Jesus says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So the power of spiritual deception will be very powerful. Then Christ continues in verse 25. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, Christ, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the Son of Man will appear in heaven, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so then there's a reference to the fig tree becoming tender, which is a sign of the rebirth of Israel. And then Jesus says these words in verse 36 about his return, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. And then in verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So what would Jesus do? Well, obviously Jesus preached a great deal on Bible prophecy. Now, then Jesus also talks about the signs of the times, the general conditions that will be occurring on the earth before he returns. And so in the beginning of Matthew 24, starting at verse 1, Jesus says these words, because his disciples are asking him, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Again, the emphasis of Christ's warning is on spiritual deception. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. So we see the signs of the times, which are the prophetic warning signs that Christ is about to return. And again, the emphasis that Christ continually gives, he warns believers about the increase of spiritual deception in the last days. He warns believers about the increase of false prophets, false Christs, false messiahs, false teachers. So we know that spiritual deception is going to increase in the last days. How do we guard ourselves against that spiritual deception is the big question. Because you see, people that are deceived are people that have been captured. People who are deceived are people that have been enslaved and conquered. And so when I talk to you about the fact that there exists a globalist elite who have actively used scientific mind control to enslave the masses, and the scientific methodologies they use and are using to accomplish this conquest, this is not just some scientific thing that I'm talking about. It happens to be a scientific sociological reality. But more than that, it's a sign of the time. It's what God warned would happen in Bible prophecy. Because when you study all of scientific mind control, you see that all scientific mind control is ultimately rooted back thousands and thousands of years ago to the ancient super civilizations like Babylon at the Tower of Babel, the Pharaoh and the Pharaoh God-King system, and the Egyptian system. God's people were slaves there. So know this, that whenever God's people are spiritually deceived, they lose their power, their authority, their blessings, and they become slaves. And then they experience oppression, fear, poverty, sickness, lack, loss of freedom, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very simple dynamic. It's a very simple formula. Freedom or deception. Freedom or deception. And you make the choice and I make the choice. And what we pass down to our children, what we put into the culture virally through social media, determines how many people will be exposed to the truth. And the greater the number of people exposed to the truth, the greater the odds are that the truth will expand and take hold in a particular nation. But going back to the beginning, the basic template of this entire thing is this. When we read the story of Genesis and God creating Adam and Eve, they were given the supernatural authority to be the rulers of the Garden of Eden of paradise. And they had eternal life, and they had anything a man or woman could want. Now they blew it, because what did they do? They allowed themselves to be deceived. What is the number one way that you allow yourself, or anyone allows themselves to be deceived? You reject the truth and you believe the lie. Then you enter into spiritual deception. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's even simpler than that. Whenever you reject the truth of God's word for a lie, you go into slavery, you go into spiritual deception, and you go into captivity. It's so, so simple, but it's so, so profound. So what did Adam and Eve do? They rejected God's word. They listened to Lucifer speaking to them in the form of a reptilian being, the serpent of old. And in just a couple of minutes, they activated the law of sin and death because they rejected God's word. They tossed it aside. They disobeyed the one commandment that God gave them about eating from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. And in that nanosecond that they made that decision to disobey God's word, they activated the law of sin and death, and they began dying. A curse came on the human race. They lost their supernatural authority to rule and reign in planet Earth. They lost their blessings. They lost their power, all through spiritual deception. And then they became slaves to sin, slaves to Lucifer, slaves to Luciferian systems, slaves to the law of sin and death, which was never God's intention to begin with. God did not create his people to be slaves. It's so, so important that we understand that. That's a foundational teaching in the book of Genesis, God did not create his people to be slaves. God did not create you to be a slave. God did not create your children and grandchildren to be slaves. God did not create his people in America or his people in any other nation on planet Earth to be slaves. That occurs when God's people reject the word of God and they accept lies, they accept spiritual deception. Once they accept lies and spiritual deception, then they are placed in captivity and they are slaves. And they are then victimized and conquered. But that was never God's intention from the beginning. That's why you simply read the book of Genesis, and it tells you very clearly what God's intention is from the beginning. It was never to allow his people to be slaves. Now, we're going to get into this because it's so important that you understand the simplicity of this principle so you can pass it on to others, so you can teach it to people, so you can apply it in your own life, and so you can apply it in the life of your nation. It's a very, very simple principle. And again, the principle goes like this. If you believe and act on the truth of God's word, you will be a free man and a free woman. If you allow yourself to be spiritually deceived and you act on the basis of that deception, you will be conquered. You will become a slave. And that's not God's destiny for you. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. You can help us get the word out to people all over the world and all over across the United States by choosing to be a prayer partner, to prayerfully seek the Lord and help us get this message out there to as many people as possible, this message based on biblical truth, and by asking the Lord, Lord, what can I do in terms of financial contributions and donations? Lord, what would you have me do? And then simply whatever the Lord tells you to do, obey him. And then you trust the Lord, as all of us trust the Lord. And then pass this program on to people that need to hear it. By the way, we have a powerful meeting coming up with Paradise Mountain Church, Prophecy and Prayer. I'll be giving a prophetic message based on the Word of God and where we are in America in terms of the prophetic timeline, what's going to happen in the near future. It's not a meeting of fatalism. There's a time of ministry. We'll be praying. I will personally make myself available to pray for every single person that comes. And we invite you to come. The Lord is going to move powerfully, setting people free. And the meeting's free and the parking's free. All you have to do is register at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We'll be back in just a second. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So Jesus Christ warns us continually in the New Testament regarding the danger of spiritual deception, being deceived, and the coming of false Christs, false teachers, false prophets, and false messiahs. And now these things don't always have to be people. They can be teachings. They can be belief systems. In America today, and in many of the Western nations today, especially via the mass media, you see an entirely false view of reality being presented through the mass media 24/7, a false view of reality, a non-truthful account and processing of what's going on around you. And then when it comes to fictitional productions, you see films and television, etc., based often on cultural lies, but not the truth of God's word. So as a planet, as a nation, we have opened ourselves up to some of the worst forms of spiritual deception. And remember, all spiritual deception is based on a lie. All spiritual deception is based on a lie, and all scientific mind control is based on ancient occultic systems. Satan is the father of lies. The purpose of spiritual deception is always to enslave, to conquer, to dominate, and to control. Whenever you look at a nation that has become evil, whenever you look at a nation that is ruled by a dictatorship or totalitarian state, whenever you look at the historical examples of totalitarian states and dictatorships, they controlled their people through lies, through propaganda, through social engineering, through scientific mind control, and that's how they dominated their people. The mass control of mass populations happens because they employ the science of scientific mind control. Now, this is so important to understand. This should be, by the way, mandatory reading and studying in every Christian school and seminary and college, etc. Because you see, the Christian schools, colleges, seminaries, and churches have been inundated. They've been flooded. They've been infiltrated with systems of lying, spiritual deception. They've been, not only that, they've been targeted for destruction, and they have largely been destroyed. And this targeting, this is not some mythological conspiracy theory I'm making up. I'm giving you historical facts. I can cite all kinds of historical facts and documents to prove what I'm saying. The people that would try to criticize me have no historical facts to refute what I'm saying because they never bothered to do any study on it to begin with. So what is the end result of this? The very thing that God does not want, the very thing that God hates, and that is when his people go into captivity. God warns, my people perish for lack of wisdom or vision. God doesn't want his people to perish. So in my book, Conquering the Matrix, I answer the questions that people need to know. For example, you know, is scientific mind control being used against individuals and churches in our society? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. I go into detail in Conquering the Matrix. And one of the first things you'll find out when you read the book is that you'll be able to answer the question, are you under the influence of scientific mind control to one degree or another? Are you in some kind of hypnotic trance state to one degree or another? You see, most people who are being influenced by scientific mind control or social engineering or a hypnotic trance state are not even aware of it. You know, I can see people on television, I meet people all the time, and I can tell you usually instantly if they have been through mind control or participated in mind control or whatever, because you see, when you've gone through that, your personality leaves signatures, leaves clues. And if you're perceptive, and this book teaches you how to develop that perceptive ability, you can see it. And then also you can protect yourself from these kinds of things. So let me read you a couple of quotes. Some I may have read to you before, but they're worth hearing again. There was a guy, he just died a couple of years ago. His name was Zbigniew Brzezinski. He was one of the most powerful globalist leader and intellectual globalist leader in the world. He was a secretary of state for several U.S. presidents. He was the co-founder of the Trilateral Commission with Rockefeller. And on page 99 of my book, I have a chapter entitled Technotronic Weapons Used to Prevent a Global Awakening. And Brzezinski, I'm reading from my book, Brzezinski expressed concern of a global political and social awakening that would threaten the elite's plan for a one-world government and their new world order. In the 1970s, Brzezinski wrote in his book, Between Two Ages, America's role in the technotronic era, where he called for the use of science fiction-like technotronic weapons to control mass populations through such things as electronic mind control by the elites. Now, I hate to break it to some of your friends who just can, you know, the only thing they can say, they're like parrots in a birdcage. And whenever you say something that fits out of the tiny shoebox of their consciousness, they squawk the words conspiracy theory, like a parrot, like a starving parrot being handed a cracker. Well, that's because they're ignorant people. They're uneducated people. They don't know what they're talking about. And in front of me, you know, I have on page 99 the quotes, the background of some of the most powerful intellectuals in the world who mapped out and planned carefully this scientific mind control program. So Brzezinski advocates in his book the usage of technotronic weapons, now I'm quoting him, to control mass populations through such things as electronic mind control by the elites. And again, Brzezinski was calling for the same thing that earlier elites like Aldous Huxley and H.G. Wells called for when they used the term the scientific dictatorship. The term technocratic elite has also been used. Now, here's the really interesting thing. The word techne, from which we get our word technology, and also which we get the word technocratic elite, techne comes from the word Wicca, and I'm reading from my book, Conquering the Matrix. Techne comes from the word Wicca, which comes from the word witchcraft. And the term witchcraft comes from the belief in reconfiguring reality. The super civilizations that existed before the flood of Noah, like the legend of Atlantis, were ruled by scientific or technocratic elite of 10 philosopher kings or 10 god kings. The Greek philosopher Plato wrote extensively about Atlantis in his book, Plato's Republic, which members of the modern elite regularly read today. So, you know, here I'm just giving you a little taste of the fact that these so-called gentlemen, these brilliant men, had a master plan to subjugate the masses, that's you and me, through technotronic weapons and scientific mind control. And that's what's been going on for the last 100 years. But it's been going on in such a way that the average person has no idea what's happening. They have no idea what's happening. And so it's important that you do know what's happening. Now, my cell phone goes off. Somebody calls me. And for whatever reason, the Paul McGuire report starts playing with the video. And I thank God for that. But I didn't expect it to go off in the studio, but I'm not going to re-edit the show over that. Okay, so then, so you have to understand that there are powerful forces trying to mold and shape your mind and mold and shape your children's minds. Okay? That's what you need to understand. Social engineering, propaganda, all designed to shape and control your mind. And this is being done by the globalist elite, and they use the technology in order to do it. And in the book, I talk about all kinds of things that are happening now that seriously affect you. For example, it's very interesting. Monsanto, the corporation that I think they invented that weed killer, I forgot what it's called. But then they became the corporation that invented, they began genetically modifying all kinds of foods, GMO foods. And I have a chapter starting on page 166 where I talk about the health risks associated with eating GMO foods. And the point is that these genetically modified foods are killing people all over the world because it increases your susceptibility to getting sick, to getting disease, and it becomes an effective means of mind control because people aren't thinking clearly because of the food they're eating. And then you have things like the global threat of fluoride and aluminum. Now, remember, it was Adolf Hitler who first put fluoride into the water supply to dull down the consciousness of the people in Germany when he was building Nazi Germany in the 30s. That's a scientific fact. I have it here in Conquering the Matrix. And yet I know that as I'm talking to you about this right now, that there's probably a huge number of people listening that are indignant and think, well, gee, you know, fluoride prevents cavities. And I'm going to continue to use my fluoridated mouthwash and my fluoridated toothpaste, especially on my young children. Well, you might want to read the actual scientific study that was done in the 1930s by a guy named Charles Elliot Perkins, who was a scientific researcher in chemistry, biochemistry, physiology, and pathology, and was sent to Germany in the 1930s to take to oversee their chemical plants. And this is what Charles Elliot Perkins, a scientific researcher, concluded when he studied the German water treatment plants. Listen carefully. This is from page 177 of Conquering the Matrix. The real purpose behind water fluoridation is to reduce the resistance of the masses to domination and control and loss of liberty. Repeated doses of infinitesimal amounts of fluoride will, in time, gradually reduce the individual's power to resist domination by slowly poisoning and narcotizing this area of the brain tissue and make him submissive to the will of those who wish to govern him. Sodium fluoride in the water supply affects our bodies and minds. Sodium fluoride calcifies the pineal gland. British scientist Jennifer Luke published a study which found that fluoride deposits tended to accumulate in the pineal gland and calcify it. In addition, a 450-page review of fluoride toxicity published by the National Research Council in 2006 reported that fluoride produced a range of negative side effects, including decreased melatonin production and other effects on normal pineal function, which in turn could contribute to a variety of effects in humans. Now, that's just the beginning of the studies on fluoride. So here's my question to you. Remember, the whole reason this invisible elite has been able to turn so many people into their captives and prisoners is they scientifically dumbed down the populations of the various nations. And one of the ways you can scientifically dumb people down is through additives, chemical additives to the food, water, supply of what people eat. And fluoride slowly and incrementally dumbs you down and destroys your brain. That's why Hitler put it in the water supply. There is no known account of any other nation in history that began to use fluoride in the water supply. The first nation in history that began to do this on a large-scale program was Germany, and it was ordered by Adolf Hitler, the dictator of Nazi Germany, and he did it because he knew it would dumb down the consciousness of the German people so that their awareness and perception would be dulled and they wouldn't notice that they were undergoing a totalitarian transformation. Now, I talk to people, here's the tragedy, okay? I talk to people all the time, and there's so many, you know, I drop the subject because I'm not on a crusade about fluoride. I'll tell people the truth, but I'm not going to arm wrestle you and pin you to the ground and tell you to give up your toothpaste and your fluoridated mouthwash. There are other kinds of natural toothpaste you can use and mouthwashes you can use. But, you know, the facts are there. You can read them in my book, and if you don't want to read my book, you can get them somewhere else. The facts are there. So the ball's in your court. Now, the question you also need to be asking yourself, which is in my book, Conquering the Matrix, why is it that chemtrails, and anybody who tells me that chemtrails, I had a friendly argument let's just say somebody who has a highly advanced scientific career, and this person absolutely insisted there's no such thing as chemtrails. Well, you know, they can absolutely insist anything they want, but I've woken up in the morning, you've woken up in the morning, and I've seen that checkerboard pattern on the sky. Those are not jet planes randomly flying in a flight pattern over my house. They're spraying all over the nation and the world, chemtrails. Now, in the book, Conquering the Matrix, okay, so here I'm having this friendly debate with a very educated person that I know who absolutely insists that there's no such thing as chemtrails. Okay, the only problem with that is that in my book, Conquering the Matrix, I have a report given to the Council on Foreign Relations about a year ago, where in the report, the former head of the CIA, Brennan, boasts proudly about the use of chemtrails in geoengineering. Now, he puts it a different way. He puts it in a positive way. But he's saying openly, and he said it before the Council on Foreign Relations, and I have his speech in the book, word for word, where he talks about the use of geoengineering and chemtrails to fight, he says, global climate change. So the question is, there is chemtrails, and the question is, are they good and bad? Good or bad, and what are they doing? Okay, so right here I'm looking at page 101 of Conquering the Matrix. And I have all kinds of quotes, okay? Now, in the quotes, I'm on page 103, I bring up the subject of lithium and toxins that are in the chemtrails. Lithium is a tranquilizing drug. So why would a tranquilizing drug be in chemtrails coming out of a jet? So I'll just read to you from my book. There are a number of agencies and companies that are spraying drugs like lithium and toxins dispersed in the chemtrails and released from the jets flying over our homes. The chemical lithium found in chemtrails being sprayed all over the world. Lithium is a pharmaceutical drug that is used in treating people with manic depression or bipolar disorder. So why are they spraying you with it from jets? Lithium alters human consciousness by changing levels of serotonin. That's, you know, the natural antidepressant. And norepinephrine, and much like many antidepressant medications do. But it also disrupts the ionosphere electrically and electromagnetically. Lithium has been charged into our skies going as far back as 1970, along with a range of toxins and other destructive elements. It would appear that lithium is being used to medicate the population by tranquilizing them. But tranquilizing also implies a negative impact on certain areas of the brain and a general dumbing down and non-questioning attitude, which means compliance. Now, here I quote from a highly respected propaganda expert and advertising expert from the 1930s, Edward Bernays, who is considered the father of modern propaganda and mass manipulation through advertising. And this is what Edward Bernays wrote. "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. This is the logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society. In almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conduct or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind." Edward L. Bernays, the father of modern propaganda. And this was written in the 1930s. So you see that people have a vested interest in controlling what you think and what you believe. And then back to the biblical foundation of truth, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Truth sets you free as a person. Lies, satanic lies, set you into captivity or slavery. It's that simple. Again, we go back to that very simple formula the Bible presents over and over again. Truth, the truth of God's word, truth in every area sets men and women free. And when you believe lies and accept lies, you go into bondage, you go into captivity, and you become a slave. The Bible teaches this very, very simple formula. A child can understand it, but it's not being taught in our seminaries. It's not being taught in our pulpits. It's not being taught in Bible study in churches. Why? Why? Well, we're going to tell you in just a moment, but more importantly, we're going to tell you what you personally can do about it. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. This program needs to be heard by somebody you know. And in doing research, just over the weekend, I was doing research into this Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and her background in mind control. And the amount of censorship on the internet was just outrageous. We need you to help us get our message out and do an end run around the algorithms and the censors and the bots. And we need you to stand with us with your prayers and your financial contributions, because we are in a spiritual war which involves communicating the truth, but there are forces that want to censor and block the truth. There are forces that don't like the light. They only like the spiritual darkness. So we'll be back in a moment. Send this to somebody who needs to hear it, because the truth will set them free. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We'll be back in just a moment. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. So this scientific dictatorship has been going on for a long time. I want to read to you some quotes that I put in my book, Mass Awakening. And Mass Awakening, it's good to get a copy of Mass Awakening with Conquering the Matrix, along with A Prophecy of the Future of America and Trumpocalypse and the Babylon Code. This is from page 237 of Mass Awakening. In the early 1900s, John D. Rockefeller amassed the equivalent of $663 billion in today's dollars to establish foundations, think tanks to help implement the scientific dictatorship. In his first mission statement of the J.D. Rockefeller Endowed General Education Board in 1906, Rockefeller wrote the following. Okay, so this is a quote from one of the earlier Rockefellers in 1906. In our dreams, people yield themselves with perfect docility, easy to manage, control, and submissive to our molding hands. The present education conventions of intellectual and character education fade from their minds and unhampered by tradition, religious, family, moral, and patriotic. We work our own good will upon a grateful and responsive folk. We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into men of learning or philosophers or men of science. We have not raised up from them authors, educators, poets, or men of letters, great artists, painters, musicians, nor lawyers, doctors, statesmen, politicians, creatures of whom we have ample supply. The task is simple. We will organize children and teach them in a perfect way the things their fathers and mothers are doing in an imperfect way. Now, you have to understand what that was, what he was really saying here. What he was really saying is that the government, because this is what happened in Nazi Germany, the government will do all kinds of testing on your child, and the government will determine, quote, scientifically, what the best career choice is for your child without your say-so and without their say-so. So Rockefeller's goal was clear, to dumb down children so they could be feudal slaves in the New World Order. And industrialists like Rockefeller created over 50,000 and what they're called as non-governmental organizations. And he and other members of the globalist elite used the new science of scientific social engineering to sell these radical ideas to the American public through the social propaganda campaigns of men like Walter Lippmann in the 1920s and Edward Bernays in the 1930s. Television and radio are important technologies in brainwashing a population and programming people to think inside the box. In 1938, 6 million Americans were subjected to a scientific brainwashing experiment when Orson Welles broadcast H.G. Wells' novel as a radio drama called War of the Worlds. Psychologist Hadley Cantrill publishes findings on the effect of this broadcast in a book, The Invasion from Mars, A Study in the Psychology of Panic. Cantrill was part of the Princeton Radio University research project, which was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation and also affiliated with the Rockefeller-created Council on Foreign Relations. Cantrill established the Office of Public Opinion with television broadcaster Edward R. Murrow, where they studied Nazi media propaganda, which was eventually used in setting up of network television in the United States. According to researcher, and this is all quoting from my book, Mass Awakening, according to researcher Herbert Krugman, when a person watches television, brain activity switches from the left brain to the right brain. The left brain is the center of logical thought and critical analysis, and the right brain, when exposed to television, accepts data in a passive and receptive mode. This is different than using the right brain for out-of-the-box thinking. The difference is that alpha waves pouring out of the television releases endorphins and endogenous opiates, creating a kind of passive euphoria. A person can become addicted to television and receptive to programming. Okay, so the point here is that this detailed planning and implementation of mass propaganda through television, radio, and the mass media, it goes back to the 1930s. And they were fully aware when they invented television that the television in your house, it emits a 10 Hz signal. It's a brainwave. It's called an alpha wave. That stimulates learning, by the way, but it causes you to be in a passive, euphoric, hypnotic state. That's why people who, you know, been zoning out watching TV all day long look like they're in a hypnotic trance. The problem is that you lose your ability to discriminate, conduct critical analysis, and you just believe everything you're told to believe. So television becomes the perfect technology for propaganda and mind control. And added to that, now we have several generations of young people who were born with cell phones, laptops, computers, and other technology, and that with social media and the internet, that becomes the ultimate mind control program. Now, let me read you what Edward Bernays, this is the father of modern advertising and modern propaganda. He was hired, and this is from my book, Mass Awakening. He was hired by President Woodrow Wilson to get the American public to support world war against Germany. And he wrote in his 1928 book, Propaganda, these are the words of Edward Bernays in 1928, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. Wow, it's sad because all this stuff, you know, isn't hidden in a cave. All you have to do is exercise some curiosity. And this is, you need to become educated. You need to get yourself a copy of Mass Awakening, Conquering the Matrix, and A Prophecy of the Future of America. You need to read it, underline it, and then lend it to friends. Make sure you get it back and lend it to some other people and make sure they read it. Don't give it to people who won't read. It's a waste. It's a waste of people who are not hungry to learn are not hungry for truth. So don't waste your time. So that's the battle that we're in. And so in this recent Supreme Court nomination hearings, there was very, very important information that was deliberately left out by both the Republicans and the Democrats and the mainstream media. I suppose, I'm only guessing, that the Republicans left it out because the chances are that the average American who's been dumbed down, that if you told them the real truth, it would become such an issue in and of itself. People would have been screaming conspiracy theory, and the whole nomination process could potentially have gotten off track. That's the only reason I can think of as to why they didn't bring it up. But all of the mainstream media, including the so-called conservative television channel, they totally censored this information. Now, I've done a detailed research study of this information because this is what you have. When I looked at Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, within 3 seconds after looking at her, and I am not dismissing the fact that she, in my opinion, most likely went through some kind of sexual rape experience and traumatic event. I'm not dismissing that. I don't think, based upon the fact that there's zero evidence, that it was Judge Kavanaugh. But you see, there's more to it than that. And this is what was hidden by both political parties. It was hidden totally by the mainstream media. And it was discussed by alternative media. But every time you brought up an article in alternative media on the internet on this, it was surrounded with a tsunami of these giant fake news warnings and these 25-page articles saying that this is a conspiracy theory and there's no possible way it could be true, and taking facts out of context to refute what many in the alternative media were saying. Now, as I said before, when I looked at her, I had the sense that she had gone through some kind of MK Ultra mind control type process, because that leaves signatures. And I knew that within 3 seconds of looking at her. Exactly what, I don't know. But I wasn't surprised at all, because I began to do research about her immediately afterwards. Because I heard that she was a psychologist who worked at Palo Alto and worked in the area of repressed memories and using hypnosis to uncover repressed memories, which is precisely how she may have come about retrieving this so-called repressed memory. But that's very inaccurate. Okay, that's why it's not generally allowed in the court. So what was being hidden from the American people was the fact that she has some kind of connection to the CIA. There were people in her family that worked for the CIA, and there were people in her family that were connected with the Stanford Research Institute or the Stanford Research University's MK Ultra program and mind control programs. And she herself is part of a yoga hypnosis, create like alternative memories or release memories through mind control and yoga and meditation. Now, the critics say, well, this is all not true. And the critics may be right on, let's say, a certain percentage point of some of the allegations. But the rest of it, the critics, the people who are accusing this of fake news, don't know what they're talking about. Well, actually, they do know what they're talking about. They're paid to turn out disinformation. Because let's just put it this way. Even if not everything said about her is true in terms of her CIA background or whatever, the fact of the matter remains is there's too many strange coincidences, strange relationships, strange family members who had relationships with people in the MK Ultra mind control programs of Stanford University and other universities. Just too many associations. So at the very least, they raise serious question marks. But you weren't allowed to hear that. And why is it that the mainstream media, again, operates like one giant monolithic Orwellian machine, censoring all news, all truth? Why not give you the facts and allow you to decide whether you think they're valid or not? You see, what was conspicuous by its absence was the fact that the mainstream media and others overplayed their hand. If they had simply acknowledged that there were questions about her, her career, and her relationship and her family's relationship to the CIA and mind control programs, that would have been honest news reporting. If they had simply allowed it to be discussed, but they totally scrubbed it clean. There was no mention of it whatsoever. And then when you go on the internet, you saw stories deleted, articles deleted, links deleted to scientific reports, which would have offered up proof. And why do you have this tsunami of these fake news warnings over this story? There are all kinds of stories on the internet which have absolutely no credibility, and many of them are being generated from the mainstream media. There's no fake news warnings around their stories. So you see, there's a war for information going on. Somebody did not want you to know that this was a factor. Now, maybe it was a factor upon further examination that did not directly affect it. I don't think that's the case. I think it did affect it. To what degree, we'll never know, because it was hidden from us. as so much other information is being hidden from us. So you see, the very fact that people have to go out of their way to censor, distort, conceal, hide truth and news and real information from us, that reveals itself. If you're honest and clean, you don't have to hide stuff. You can be transparent. The news media is not transparent. They're hiding something. And the internet is not transparent. They're hiding something. You see, if they had like a glass door and allowed you to look at the facts and pointed out, this is what we think is fake and this is what we think is real, that's one thing. But they hide the whole thing. Therefore, it becomes conspicuous. You see, their overreaction and their over-censorship forces you to think that they're up to something dirty. Otherwise, why hide it? Why go overboard to hide it? And we're seeing more and more of this with the social media, with the internet, and the mainstream media. I was watching this well-known journalist, newsman on Fox. I don't know if he calls himself a conservative. I don't trust the guy. He went out of his way yesterday to quote sources, media sources, over some part of the hearing or whatever. And he deliberately named only those news sources in the mainstream media. There were credible news sources in the alternative media, which have far larger numbers, that did accurate reporting. But I watched him very carefully, and he went out of his way to make sure he only named the officially approved mainstream media sources. Why? Because to me, it's very obvious that this man is hiding his true ideology, because Fox has a reputation that I think is no longer true, that it's a conservative news network. I think you're crazy if you think Fox is a conservative news network. It's a lot more conservative than the other networks. It may be a moderate conservative news network, but if you really look carefully, in the last 6 months, there have been some major changes at Fox News Network, and they are replacing so many of their conservative news people with, well, they're not coming out and telling you what the politics are of this new group, which is a big clue that most likely they're liberals hiding. And I think a lot of people are going to be upset in the near future. They're going to discover that Fox is not the conservative news channel they thought it was. It's changing, but they're doing it in a very subtle manner. And the minute the public finds out that Fox is not a conservative news channel that they were to whatever degree, they're going to take a major hit, a negative hit in audience, because people are watching them. They're watching them because they don't want to watch CNN and MSNBC. Notice how all the media in America is saying the same thing. That's because they're all controlled by the same puppet master. That reveals to you that there is an invisible government and a shadow government. And this is exactly what's warned about in Bible prophecy. My job and your job is to spread the truth to as many people as fast as we can, while we still can, so that we can preserve our freedoms. Because it's absolutely necessary that we preserve our constitutional freedoms, such as freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, and other freedoms. If we lose those freedoms, we lose the ability to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me on today's edition of the Paul McGuire Report. Send this message far and wide. Join with us as a partner by praying for me, my family, this ministry, by helping us do an end run around the censors, by seeking the Lord and asking how you can contribute financially through your donations and contributions to this ministry. And together, we can definitely change this nation and change the world. Ideas have consequences. Bad ideas have bad consequences, but good ideas have good consequences, and good ideas need to be and must be spread. They're like seeds, as fast as possible. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.